Thank you for listening to Faith on the Field Show. Check out faithonthefieldshow.com for all our previous episodes and merchandise and see a list of all of our awesome sponsors. Please take a minute to download, subscribe, and review our show and tell us if you love it or however you feel about it. This episode is brought to you by Rick Santella, financial advisor at Morgan Stanley. Call Rick at 215-845-6018. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and Doug Horton. And guys, before we even get into the show this week, I have a really cool announcement that I've been holding on to for a couple of weeks now. Ryan behind the glass is listening with his ears perked, and he's ready
interested.
To
get
you,
rich.
You want to know what this very cool announcement is, huh? Well, Karen University President Dr. Todd Williams, who was a guest on our episode.
Fantastic guest.
And our program sponsor, Karen University.
Yes, he was on our the Tony Dungy episode.
The Tony Dungy episode
late September. Well, he reached out to me recently, guys, and he invited me to be the commencement speaker at Karen University's December graduation.
Wow.
So it's a big tremendous
time.
Honor.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to it.
It's a big deal.
And I'm getting ready because I get to rock a cap and a gown, and I'm having a horrible hair day today. And I'm like, I'm going to have horrible hair day. How do you think I'm going to hold up with a cap and a gown?
Not well, man. As soon as that thing goes on, it's just going to squish it right down.
I need pictures, bro. I need pictures. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I'm already prepared. I'm going to do hat hair like Ryan.
Just lay it on
there.
Real soft, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go very little product. You know, make sure there's very little. But we are, though, doing afterwards a book signing. And so I didn't let you know till now, Doug. So you're going to.
I'm there. It's
yeah,
good.
We're going to be there doing that. So the cap will. Maybe I can just carry it on out there and do that. So
hey,
I'm looking forward to it.
We talked about this a little bit, but that is a big honor. So congratulations on that. To be able to speak at commencement,
man.
You know, in academic realms, like they do things a little bit different than the normal world, right?
Yeah,
and so the honors that they bestow upon people to do that is a little bit more. People think, graduation. It's not like high school. It's a big deal.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I appreciate Dr. Todd Williams and Karen University having the faith in me to do that, to speak a message to those guys as they're getting ready to, the guys and girls, the graduates, as they're getting ready to go out there. Today, guys, we have a very special guest, a crossover guest. So it's going to fit both of our sports interview and our Faith in the Field segment. She is NFL agent Molly McManamy. Molly works for the Carrick Sports Management Team, which represents someone we all know very well, Zach Ertz, Kiko Alonso, former Eagle, who was – what is Kiko Alonso's claim to fame?
He was traded for Shady McCoy.
There you go.
From the Buffalo Bills, right?
That's right.
But he's doing very well. And he was part of the deals – that Howie Roseman sent him to Miami with Byron Maxwell, got a draft pick.
Yep.
That draft pick was
turned into
Carson Wentz. So Kiko Alonso.
We love you, Kiko.
We love Kiko Alonso.
Means a lot to Philadelphia
Kiko's
fans.
Kiko's a good man.
So you'll hear from Molly next segment. But she's part of a profession in which rejection is commonplace. And she said in our conversation that you have to be able to handle hearing more no's mm-hmm. than you hear yeses when you're recruiting players. And she's able to deal with that, however, because her faith is so strong. And she knows that some partnerships just aren't what God has meant for her. And that's excellent perspective, because I think sometimes we don't realize it's not for us.
Yeah.
So we're going to call this show today, It's Not For You. 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 It's not for us. We all have to hear a lot of no's in our lifetime. Some of us hear no every day on some various level. I know my kids hear no a whole lot, and they're not at this point right now. No. So we try it, and Remy gets me the whole parenting spiel about it's not no's. It's an explanation why they can't do this or why they can't eat this. All right, babe. No is a lot easier, but I understand. I understand your parenting point. Like, if they grow up hearing no all the time. No, I wasn't trying to imitate my wife or mimic her. She knows very well. We really can't, though. Whether you're a five-year-old kid, whether you're a 50-year-old, whoever, you can't get everything you want. And often, that's a good thing. Because we don't even know what's best for us. Sometimes we put our hopes and dreams in all the wrong things, and sometimes we pursue relationships, whether it's a personal level or a business level, with people who would make us miserable. And I feel like sometimes we seek opportunities that could eventually lead to our downfall. So rejection is a part of life, but how we handle it, how we deal with the adversity, how we bounce back after hearing one no after another – really determines our future and where we go and how we progress from there. And we really need to be resilient. And if we have that strong faith, and this is one of my favorite Bible verses, if we truly trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding, as it says in Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and we submit to the Lord, He'll guide us. He'll direct our path. And He will open another door when one door closes. And He will let us know what we thought we wanted, what God's screaming at us saying, it's not for you. It's not for you. But we need to keep pushing. We need to keep believing, and we need to keep on trusting. Pastor Carl?
Yeah, I think that's so true, Rob. I think, so often the filter through which we see our world is our own experience. Experiences, our own understanding, our own emotion. So especially in our world today, they're the three things that we really kind of use to filter our the way that we see life, the way we feel about life, and then that, you know, our emotions dictate our thinking. Our thinking then dictates our actions. Our actions then dictate our future. And so often our emotions, although they're great servants, they're horrible masters, right? We all, you know, all of our feelings are always real. They're just not always truth. And that's why coming back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is so important, because the way that I feel about something or the way that I think about something, it is real. I do feel that way. So sometimes we're like, that's not true when people say, I really feel this. No, you don't. No, yes, I do. I feel that way. But it may not be truth. And that's where I have to come back and say, man, if this is the way that I'm seeing something, this is the way I'm feeling something, but it is outside or different or contrary to the wisdom of God and the word of God and the will of God, then I'm seeing it wrong. And I need to recognize that the Holy Spirit needs to come in and help shape and shift and change that expression. But that's where it comes back to the necessity for us to know the word of God, right? Because the word of God becomes the boundary through which we live in.
Yes.
We need to know the person of God so that we can have the word of God spoken to us in that exact situation. And we have to understand the love of God, knowing that when God, like when you say no to your girls, it's not because you don't like them. It's not because you're even mad at them. It's not because you don't want them to have a good life. It's because you love them so much. You don't want them to experience the hurt that decision makes. I was telling a story to church the other day about when I was in Richmond. They had a street, an intersection that had a lot of people had died at, and they didn't have a traffic light there. And for years they had petitioned the township for a traffic light. And finally took the death of a young teenager again for there to be such uproar that they put it in. But when they put in the stoplight, people weren't like, I can't believe you put a stoplight in there. I can't believe you're telling me that I can't drive the way I want to drive. No, the boundary wasn't. They didn't look at the boundary as something that was taking something from them. They knew what life was like without that boundary in there. And when they saw it, they were able to rejoice. And if we can look at the word of God, the will of God, and the ways of God, and understand that the boundaries of His word, the boundaries of His will, the boundaries of the no sometimes, is not to restrict us or take things away, but actually He knows what life for us is like without that stoplight in there, and it brings death.
But that's a lot of the answer to the question, why? And when we get that no, sometimes we really do wonder, why did this happen?
Yeah.
And we keep asking,
am I
that
inadequate?
Over.
Am I not good enough? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Or, you know, for whatever reason you're doing, whether, you know, in Molly's case, you know, it's getting a partnership.
Right.
Why didn't I get this? Because God has something different in store for me. If we have that perspective for everything in our life, whether it's a good thing, we got this. Yes. Okay, great. God has a plan. We feel like He's opened a door for us. We're walking through this. If we get a no, then God has something else for us. And it allows you not to get too high or too low, that thinking you've done it. But, you know, we face that when we face tragedy in our life also. Well, I want to know why. And one of the biggest things in the past when we went through a tragedy in our life, when we lost our son, you struggle because you want to know why. Why did God take him?
Yeah.
Why did God let this happen to us? And some great advice that I got was, it's not for me to understand why. It's for me to have faith and trust that God has a plan. And for me, that meant a whole lot different, because it's not an answer. I didn't get the answer that I wanted. I didn't have clarity. But all it says, have faith. And that changed my perspective on how I need to approach it.
Absolutely.
I think sometimes we can take that it's not for you mentality, right? Mm. It's not for you, and it becomes a little misguided, right?
Yeah.
When you gave a great example in a recent sermon about a guy who's always late, right?
Oh yeah.
The guy who's always late, Daryl. But he doesn't get the promotion.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, but that's just me.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes, like, if we don't do what we need to get done, if we're not performing at our job, or if we're not putting out what we should get in return, then we fall back on a crutch.
Yes.
And we go, oh, yeah, well, it's not for me.
Yeah.
God's got something better for me anyway.
Right.
It's not for me. I don't want people to get the misconception that, hey, God's got something better for you when you don't put in what you think you should deserve.
Yeah.
So, don't go into a job interview and go about it half-assed, right?
Right.
And then think, I'm going to get, oh, I didn't get that job because God's got a better job for me. Or in a relationship and be
correct.
Be mean in your relationship or mistreat whoever it is you are in that relationship
right.
and be like, well, she's not the one or he's not the one anyway. God's got a better person for me. God doesn't have a better person for you if the person he intended for you is right there in front of you and you're treating them like crap.
Well, do you know what I always say about that is that God always has a better person for the person as well. So, you know, it's always like, you know, like, I got someone better. No. What God is saving, God's not rescuing you. He's rescuing that person from you. So, yeah, I mean, Rob, I think in all of this, we always have to come back and be able to say God is shaping humanity, shaping us to be what he has created us to be. And that's why we can't rely on our own limited understanding of life. You know, going back to what we were just talking about when you know, how many of us grew up with crushes that we had, you know, that teenage girl or guy, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to marry her. She's the one. And then it didn't work out. And you're like, oh,
shocking,
my heart.
Right?
Yeah, my heart was broken and everything else. But you look back out now and go, oh my gosh, thank you, God, for not letting me, you know, take that step. And it's so often we only see things through the lens of the immediate need of the moment. That's why when Jesus is in the wilderness and the enemy shows up and tempts him with the immediate needs, every one of those was an immediate need, right? You're hungry. You've been fasting 40 days. I always love that verse where it says Jesus has been fasting 40 days and he was hungry. Really? Like, that's one of those no dull moments in the Bible, right? But I love it because the enemy doesn't come up and say, I'll make you an owner of a bakery. He says, do you want bread? And I think so often our greatest temptations are to give in to the immediate need that's in front of us rather than seeing the big picture of what God has for us as men and women of God.
That's one of the main things I like about getting older. As the older I get, I'm able to reflect back and then have the answers to what God was doing in certain circumstances. So you say, hey, you look back and I didn't understand in that immediate need what God was doing, but now I can see how he was preparing me or he was providing another opportunity and why that wasn't for me. But then I can actually see what did God have for me. And I guess that's you know, as you get older, that's the wisdom aspect that you can obtain, right? When you're 25, 26,
yes.
When you're 25, 26, you know, early, you know, you think everything's about me and you think I want this immediate need met right now and I don't have patience. As you get older, you're able to look back and go through some experiences where God's brought you through the valley or put you on top of the mountain and then realize you didn't do anything to get there.
I will say that, and I agree to 100% with what you're saying, Doug, 1,000%. I will also just really tell our listeners that sometimes you'll never know. And you have to be okay with it. You have to be okay with the mystery of God and really come down to the fact that this is what that verse is saying. Lean not on your own understanding. That means I can never go back to leaning on my understanding, going back to making that the foundation of how I see life in God. And so, no, there are things that I have learned. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is learning from our experience through the things of God in life. But at the end of this, there are things I'll never truly understand. And that comes down to me surrendering and saying, God, you're big enough. I don't trust that I'm going to learn one day from the failures of my past. I'm going to trust that you're good, and I know you're good. Therefore, I'm going to trust my life in you.
And what that verse says, Pastor Kyle and Doug, is trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
See, we can't half-heartedly trust.
Yeah.
We can't go in there and say, I'm going to trust in the Lord in this aspect of my life. But I'm going to do what I'm going to lean on my own understanding in this area. I'm going to trust here, but I'm going to do my thing here. It doesn't work that
correct.
Way.
So tell me from you, Rob, from your perspective, what does it mean to be kind of with all your heart aspect?
Man, when you say with all your heart, it's every part of your being. It's everything that you think of. It's your thoughts. It's your words. It's your actions. Right. It's every idea that goes through your head. It's every decision that you make. So even if it's something as mundane as like taking the kids to school at a certain time and then get there on time.
Yeah.
Right. Get up early enough to help out your wife as she's taking them to school. Didn't do that lately. But it's every area of your life when you trust in him. I go back to decisions and I think back at some of the decisions I made in my life. And as you were talking about, Doug, like when you're 20, 25, you're making decisions for right now. Right. You could be making decisions right now that are going to hinder you for a long period of time.
Yes.
Some people out there may have bad credit. Right. You have bad credit. That's going to stick with you for a long time. Those are decisions you made at some point in your life, whether it was being late, whether it was this or that, that are going to hinder you.
It's true.
And you think, yeah, but I got this. I'm okay with it. I'll take care of it. I'll figure it out. I'll get to it in 10, 15 years or whatever it is. And then sometimes you go back to like some of the things that our parents always tell us, and they say, well, one day when you grow older, as you were saying, Doug, like, now that you're older, you know, and that's the one for you're one of the people who actually likes to be older.
That's not true. I didn't say that.
I said that's the only thing I like about
getting older.
Right? Yeah, well, at least there's something you like about getting. There's nothing I like about getting older, man. But I look back at all the things my parents said, and I'm like, yeah, they were right. You know, they were right there. Yeah, they were right in that. And it all comes back to, where am I putting my trust in? Am I putting my trust in the Lord? Am I putting my trust in myself? Am I trusting his way because his way is better than mine? Am I following what he wants me to do? Or am I going to take a shortcut today? Because every shortcut adds up. So if
Absolutely.
I keep taking a little shortcut in one area of my life and then take a little shortcut somewhere else and then take a little shortcut, I'm going to get derailed. I'm going to go off on a detour and I'm going to end up somewhere way far from the Lord. So you can't be taking little shortcuts here and little shortcuts there and think, yeah, but I trust in the Lord today, but did you trust in him yesterday? Mm-hmm. Are you going to trust in him tonight when you're faced with a difficult decision, when you're faced with whatever it can be? And everybody out there knows my story. You know my story. And you know what? And I'll be completely transparent about this right now, too. So I'm so busy. I got all this stuff. I got all kinds of things that I need. I spoke to you about this, too. And I'm like, I can't even figure out my own schedule.
Yeah.
Right?
Correct.
I can't even answer some of my emails. I don't know where I'm going here. I don't know where I'm going there. And I'm like, I need a personal assistant. Right? I need a personal assistant.
You do. I agree.
Right? So I reach out. I'm like, hey, no, Ryan, you do not qualify. You will not be my personal assistant. So I and there's a couple people. And then I'm like, well, you know what? I think my wife needs to be involved in that decision.
Hmm.
Right? My wife needs to be. And for the people out there who don't know, go back and listen to episode, 52? Because
yep.
I'm not going to get into all of it right now. But she's like, do you really want to show up at an event? Sometimes you share your testimony with like a 20-something blonde as your personal assistant. And I said,
if the blonde is a boy.
That's exactly what
there
she
you go.
Said. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what she said. So it's trust in the Lord in every decision you make.
Yeah.
Because even though I have no intention whatsoever, right? But there's that perception.
Absolutely.
There's all of that. So you got to put your trust fully in God in every area of your life, every decision you make.
It's not even Rob. You know, just so that our listeners understand, it's you know, in that moment, it's not even always just about a temptation for you. It's also about guarding that person's heart that you're in that relationship with, and guarding your wife's heart or your spouse's heart that you're in, and honoring them, and not putting them in a position where they're uncomfortable, where they're stressed, where they worry. So that's our job as husbands. We've talked about that as well. We're man up, right? Right? We're going to man up. What does it mean? That means there's some tough decisions we have to make, because we have to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And I think that those are those moments where we just say, hey, I'm going to make this decision. It may be easier for me to have this person. It may be I would much either want that person, but you know what?
Yeah.
Integrity has a cost to it, and character has a cost to it. And those are those moments. That's leaning not on your own understanding.
Exactly.
Let this be an encouragement, too, to all our listeners, that you could start this at any time. It doesn't matter whether you're 25,
Absolutely.
40, 50, 60, 70 years old, that you could just make a decision today to turn your life over to Christ and trust him completely with every decision. But then it becomes a discipline, and you have to practice that, and you have to break some bad habits that you possibly had and take advantage of better opportunities. It's a matter of training your thinking.
Yes.
Right. And not relying on ourselves, our circumstances, our security in certain things that we find security in, that is not really true anyway, right? We put security in money. Well, money could be gone at any time.
Right.
You could have a tree fall on your house. You could get in a car accident. Money could be taken from you in a moment, right? Your health could take away money. So just use that as an encouragement that at any time, you know, you could start to lean on Christ and for your wisdom, for your daily decisions.
I wish I had received that advice. I wish I had heeded that advice earlier on. That's, you know, I read some of the Bible growing up in the denomination and all that stuff, and in the Catholic schools and everywhere I went. I read some of the Bible, some of the stories. I didn't read that much of it, you know. I don't know how much of Proverbs I saw, but Proverbs 3:5-6 is one of those, man. It sticks out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will guide your path. That's every decision you make, no matter how small, no matter how big, no matter how large, no matter how unimportant you may think it is. If you're doing it His way, if you're following His path, you'll figure it out. When we come back, we'll hear from NFL agent Molly McManamy. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner. If you missed any of our previous episodes, and we've been on the air now for well over a year, Doug is going to tell you how to catch up.
You know, all of our episodes are available 24/7 at faithonthefieldshow.com. So you can go through, search, if you want to do that, search for a certain guest or certain episode. Do that at faithonthefieldshow.com. Always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's a great way at Faith in the Field. And, you know, if you want to do some Christmas shopping,
yes,
we have some pretty sweet Faith in the Field shirts for men and women.
Yes.
So designed by Rob and Remy, and some great designs.
Yeah, there's a couple designs from you, Doug.
I had a couple in there, but they're great. So if you want to give some gifts, some Faith in the Field gifts, go there, get some merchandise, and you could also get a copy of Rob's book, Bird of Prey. And Rob, you sign them for everybody. Whenever they purchase it, you know, you want a specific message for somebody that's dealing with an issue, some encouragement, or just a Bible verse. You know, Rob can give that to you. Just put that in the notes section when you buy it.
You know what? There's a woman at your church, Pastor Kyle, at the Connect Church, who just keeps buying copies of Birds of Prey and then giving them to people. Recently she gave one to an FBI agent. She gave one to someone who did some work on her house. And then, I need to get back to her on this stuff. She's like, can I just buy a whole case? Because she keeps buying them and using them as tools. And I thought that was really cool. And I really appreciate when people do that.
A lot of people have done it. It's really cool.
I don't know. Did we tell this story? I don't think I told this on the air. I walked into my post office and the woman behind the counter is like, hey, you wrote the book, Birds of Prey. I'm like, yes, I've been here many times. I'm walking in there with the book.
I've lived here for years.
As we're mailing them, she's like, well, Pastor Phil gave me one, Pastor Phil Moser. She's like, he came in here and he did the same thing. He got extra copies and he gave her one. And I was like, oh, so you go to his church? She's like, no, he just knows that I'm an Eagles fan. So he used it as an opportunity to give to an Eagles fan. So whether you're a believer or non-believer or not, I'm not going to continue to shamelessly plug my book.
But honestly, it's a fantastic tool.
I appreciate that.
You know, we had someone the other day. I was at the food truck, and they were talking to me about reading your book, and really drew them into a deeper level of faith with God, and that's part of how they found the food truck and all sorts of things. It's amazing.
Well, cool when people are giving it to people that are living in Texas or Florida, and you know they're not around here, so it allows them to connect with what happened. But they say, hey, they're also a believer, or hey, they could use some encouragement, or they're not a believer. So whatever the need is, you know, let us help you do that. Rob will sign it for you, and you can easily just get it at faithonthefieldshow.com.
All right, one last one. So the other day, my brother texted me. He's like, hey, they were talking about you and your book, and we now call it The Other Station because I'm at 97.5 The Fanatic on the morning show at The Other Station. There, somebody called in and said, hey, have you read Rob's book, Birds of Prey? And Angela's like, oh, no, but I know him very well. And the other guy, I guess it was Keith, is like, he's a very good writer. So I was like, oh, that's cool. At least they didn't take that as an opportunity in the Eagle struggles to throw a shot at that.
Because
sometimes
people
will take a shot at the team because they're going – through that. Anyway, one last thing on Birds of Prey. I'll be speaking at a men's conference Saturday, December 8th at Calvary Chapel in Turnersville, New Jersey. And afterward, Doug, we are going to have copies and signed copies, and we'll be giving them out there as well. So we'd like to invite people. It is I'd like to invite everybody, but it's a men's conference. So if you feel uncomfortable coming there and you're a woman, you probably it's a men's conference.
Well, stop by and get a book if you need to.
Stop by anyway. I like to speak and address everybody.
Or come to graduation at Karen University. And
yes,
you can,
yes.
You know, everybody's
yes,
welcome
do
there.
That. Hey, so. I like to go out there and speak to, and there's another one coming up December 6th at a Catholic church in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I didn't tell you that one, so I'm telling you here on air. I love
there
how I drop
no,
these
you're
nuggets.
Dropping it right
I
here,
drop
yeah.
them on Doug right here. So Thursday night, we got another one in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. So that's going to be fun. Molly McMenemy graduated law school a couple of years ago already. She's working a dream job for many. She's an NFL agent with Carrick Sports Management. Her agency represents a couple Eagles. We know Zach Ertz, Camus, Grugier Hill, along with many other players. Molly's based in Las Vegas, but I caught up with her recently after a trip to Philly and Baltimore. Here is that interview. Molly, in Mark 9:23, Jesus says, "Everything is possible for one who believes." This Bible verse is obviously important to you. It's in your Twitter bio. Can you tell us why it's significant to you?
Yeah, I actually have it tattooed on me as well, on my wrist.
Wow.
I only have a couple small tattoos, but that's one of them. And I have it on the inside of my wrist, just sort of as a reminder when I want to get down on myself or things get tough, that everything is possible. And I think that it's such a powerful verse because as human beings, we have kind of finite minds where we can't even comprehend the great things that God has planned for us and that's in our future. So it's easy to think certain things aren't possible or that you can't do them. But when you remember that, you know, we serve a God that has these plans for us that we can't even fathom in our minds until they're here and they're in fruition, it's just such a good reminder that even when you're working towards something that seems like so impossible or such an uphill battle, that because, you know, I'm a believer and because of God's promises, that anything that we set our minds to, we could do.
How much has that helped you in your profession as you aspire to be an agent in the NFL, which could be a difficult thing to overcome certain stereotypes and everything like that, just to know that, hey, I can get whatever I want accomplished, and I have a God who's greater than anyone, and he can make sure that as long as I'm there and I'm following and I'm believing and trusting that I can get there.
Yeah, I mean, it is different as a woman. I'm very lucky that I work for a really great guy who not only doesn't treat me any differently, but doesn't allow me to kind of use that as a crutch. He pushes me forward and challenges me and gives me responsibility the same way he would anyone else. He believes in me as a person, not as a woman or a non-man. It was just he thought that I was the person for the job. So I'm really lucky in that aspect. But I tell people all the time, I think that any line of work, any type of work can be meaningful work. And a lot of people ask me, you know, why do you want to do something involved with the NFL when it's so dangerous? And right now it's so political and it's divided and it's polarized and all these negative things that kind of surround the game right now. And I always say, football's not going anywhere. So these guys need someone in their corner who is really there for them, who's really on their side and has their best interest at heart. So if we just pretend like it's going to go away, it's not. So if we have good people in this profession that really have these players back, it can at least get better in the aspect that they're going to be better taken care of during football and after football. And my faith is such a huge part in that because there's so much rejection in this job. As far as when you go out and try to sign players, it's inevitable. You're going to get told more than you're going to get told yes. And that's really hard. And not a lot of people can handle the constant, you know, hearing the no all the time and always having to bounce back and move forward. But as a believer, it does make it easier because you know that whatever's meant for you will come your way, and what's not meant for you, God won't put into your life. And so when you get told no, it doesn't hurt as bad, and it's not as defeating because you know, well, there's a reason this person and me were not meant to work together. And the people that aren't meant for me and do believe in what we stand for at our company and what I stand for as a person, those people will mesh with us, they'll sign with us, they'll work with us, and then working for them throughout their career is just so much easier that way.
That's excellent perspective. I think that all of us can apply to whatever profession that we're in and whenever we encounter rejection on any level. Now, as a young and new in the business, young agent, new in the business, do you find some challenges where you may have to face trying to do what's best for your client while knowing that, hey, I really serve the Lord and I have to do right by him. And maybe there are other people in the profession who may do things differently, but I don't want to go about it that way. And even if it costs me a client or it costs me a contract or it costs me something more.
Well, yeah, I mean, my company and me as the agents that I work with, we are very rooted in integrity and doing things the right way. We do them by the book. I'm sure it's no secret that there is a lot of other things that we don't partake in, and that's just because at the end of the day, like, we like to sleep at night, and like I kind of touched on earlier, whoever's meant for us will buy into what we sell, and that's always been honesty and integrity, and if that means losing out on working with someone, it's not really a loss then, because this business is really hard. You get 2 a.m. phone calls. Yesterday I spent the whole weekend with clients, which, you know, is time away from our families. And there's going to be holidays this holiday season that we either have to leave early or we don't get to spend with our family at all. And so when you're doing that and you're making those sacrifices, it has to be for clients who are worth it. So if we start out always the process with integrity and we do things the right way and people know that about us, I think it kind of weeds out the issues that we might face later on in the career. So we're not really faced with those decisions as much where it's, okay, do I compromise who I am and do what my client wants me to do, or do I lose the client and stick to who I am? I found, at least for the clients that we work for so far in my career, that I've never really had to encounter that because we've been on the same page since the very beginning because we're so transparent about who we are and what we stand for.
That's awesome. You said you grew up in the church and you would go twice a week growing up and you were baptized in middle school. Molly, was there a point in your life where your faith became maybe more your own and you started to really understand what it meant to have that relationship with Christ?
Yeah, definitely. I grew up in the church. I was baptized as a baby and then it was just kind of a given. You know, you go to Sunday school on Sundays and then during elementary school, middle school, I always had, like, one other activity that I was doing, whether it was confirmation or choir. I was in, you know, all the plays and stuff. So I was always there at church probably twice a week. And it was just sort of routine. And I think anybody that grows up in the church kind of has that moment where it becomes less of my mom's making me come here than I want to be here. And for me, I remember one moment in middle school. It was like during worship and, you know, you get like those goosebumps that come over you. And I kind of first had that fire inside of me where it became something like bigger than me. And you realize this isn't just about words on a page or lyrics in a song. It's about a feeling that you have. And, you know, that goes back to faith and everything. And that always like kind of sticks in my mind. But I always thought, I always kind of felt bad because I didn't have this huge testimony. You know, you hear the testimonies at church all the time where it's like, oh, I was addicted to drugs and then I found God. Or, you know, I got in a huge car accident and I just never had that big story. I always felt almost inadequate. And then I realized I'm just so lucky that it's just always been there. But it wasn't that my parents forced me into it. It's that it was there and available to me my whole life. And then I came into it on my own still. And nowadays, I look forward to it so much. I hate that I'm on the road so much on Sundays because church is really where I feel most at home, especially here in Vegas. But I don't know of another moment where it's kind of like shifted for me. I've just been very lucky that it's always kind of been second nature for me to have that relationship with God. But I think when I was around 13, 14 is when it transitioned from just simply religion to relationship, where I realized that it's something that's constant and ever evolving. And it's something you, it's kind of like a marriage, like you have to work at it all the time. It's not just going to, it is always there for you, but you're not going to get the most out of it if you just kind of, you know, walk through life and you go to church once a week and that's it. It has to be constant communication and constant believing and constant, you know, wondering why is this happening to me at this time, finding the greater purpose in everything and just always thinking about it and every little step that you take.
That's one of the points we always try and emphasize on this show. And we also often talk about using our platform to share the gospel and the desire to take Jesus to my marketplace is really what inspired me to create this show. You didn't hesitate when I asked you to be a guest on the show, and I really appreciated that. What advice do you have, Molly, for your peers, other young, successful Christians? What would you say to them about using whatever platform that God has blessed them with to be bold for Christ and to be unashamed to share?
Well, it's like I said earlier, every job can be meaningful. There's no insignificant job because every job that you have, whether you're in college right now and you're just working in retail or you're starting out in the working world and maybe you're not in the exact position you want to be in yet, or you are and it's a little intimidating, you don't want to scare people off or, you know, come off as something that maybe will turn people off and so you're afraid to lose your job or whatever it is, every job you have in your life will be meaningful in some way, and there's a purpose for it. And I think our jobs are just the machine that God uses in order for us to impact people, whether that's being an NFL agent or you serve people in a restaurant. Every time you interact with other people, you're given the opportunity to impact them. And that doesn't always mean you have to throw a Bible verse down in front of them or you have to take them to church. It can just be through your actions. I remember this story that Zach Ertz told about Carson Wentz and about how he looked at him and he kind of just lived his life with a certain level of peace, whether things were up or down. And when I read that story, it just all kind of clicked to me that it should be the way you walk more than the way you talk. And the way you live your life can show people how great life can be if you trust God and you surrender to his plan. And that's, like I said, that can be anywhere. It doesn't matter if you're in a business that maybe doesn't center around the church. You know, you don't have to be a pastor to get people to come to Christ. It can just be in the way that you treat people and in how you conduct yourself and how you don't ever compromise your morals and your beliefs. Because at the end of the day, you make those tough decisions to stick to what you believe in and what you're about. It all will be better in the end. I mean, it's like I said, you sleep better at night, but also in the big picture, you'll get to where God wants you to be rather than where you think you're supposed to be. Because where God wants you to be is always, always, always better than what you think your plan is. I mean, my plan has changed so many times and I face so many bumps, but when you surrender, it makes those bumps a lot easier. And when you use your faith as kind of the foundation of everything you do, you know that you're making decisions that in the long run you're going to look back on and be proud of.
Oh, that is so true. You're speaking truth right there. One more thing for you, Molly, before we let you go. You have strong feelings about women in sports being hired because they are experienced and they deserve the job, not just to fulfill a quota. We've often talked about here on the show, Jesus being a perfect example of someone who elevated women, treated them fairly and equally, and women were some of his most loyal disciples. As we talk about the role of women in sports expanding, how can Christians in important hiring positions use Jesus as an example of someone who really set the standard?
Yeah, I mean, it was like you said, like I 100% am for women in sport. I am a woman in sport, and so it's something I'm incredibly passionate about. I just think that if we hire women just because they're a woman, we're not doing anything better than not hiring them because they're a woman, and it should be based on qualifications, and it should be based on their experience and who they are as a person. And I just want all things equal when it comes to the hiring processes as far as experience and qualifications go. I saw that headline yesterday about Condoleezza Rice and stuff like that. I know is usually just like a publicity stunt. But it still is kind of, it's almost a slap in the face to women who have worked for so long to be in football or to study the game and to really put themselves in a position to be available for these jobs. And that would have been, if that was the true headline, she would have been the first woman to ever interview for a head coaching job, when we have current women who have already coached for NFL teams or have already coached at lower levels that have actual coaching experience, that would make way more sense. Now, again, I know it's probably some sort of publicity stunt, so I am not going to, like, lose sleep over it. But I think that when men are in the position to make decisions, hiring decisions, they should really try to remove the male-female thing, because women bring a different perspective than men do, and I think that God created the world as such as we need both. And so if we exclude women from certain professions entirely, we're missing out on how much potential that industry actually has. And women are not always going to be right for the job, but when they are, I would hope that, these men in positions that can hire people would give them the opportunity. Because like you said, that's exactly what Jesus says in the Bible, and he did in the Bible. And he was never of judgment because someone was a woman instead of a man. And I think he always believed that women were equally as capable as men. And he made us strong in different ways than he made men. And we need both. It balances everything out. And I think both men and women have great things to offer every profession.
Well, Molly, thank you so much for taking time to spend a few minutes with us here on Faith on the Field show. We really appreciate it, and we wish you a ton of blessings.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And that was NFL agent Molly McMenemy. Just a tremendous interview with her. Really appreciated her taking the time to do that. And I love in the beginning when she talks about the tattoo that she has, Mark 9:23, and that verse is part of a bigger story that Mark is telling about Jesus removing an evil spirit from a boy after the disciples, they were questioning, well, why can't we do it? Because they had cast out demons before, after Christ gave them the authority to do it. But this really, I feel this is a great lesson Jesus taught them and teaches us, that we're truly powerless when we have more faith in ourselves than we have faith in him.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I think there's a couple of things that are so deep in here, Rob. I think, first of all, that he's trying to get the disciples to understand that it's not a formula. They had done it all before. They went back to the same formula. Then he comes back and says, yeah, but you've missed this aspect. Yeah. That it's not going about, Christianity is not about a formula. Miracles aren't about a formula. Praying for people isn't about a formula. It's about recognizing what God and the Holy Spirit's doing in that moment and then responding to that thing. What I love about that verse, and I know we use it so often for lots of things, you know, nothing's impossible for God, right? I love that.
Yeah, and it's confused with Philippians 4:13, which is Paul talking about something.
I can do all things
to
write, exactly right. But even in this, which is brilliant, it is who he is, but I love the dad's response, and it's something that usually gets missed, overread here, or
in that story,
right? The story, right? So he brings the son. Mm-hmm. He's expecting a miracle. He doesn't get a miracle. He doesn't get so disappointed that he walks away. He waits on Jesus. Jesus then shows up, because Jesus wasn't there, and then Jesus said, look, nothing's impossible if you only believe. And he said, this moment is so transparent for him. He said, I got it. I believe that. But here's the reality, Jesus. Help me, because I struggle with belief.
Wow.
It is one of the most powerful moments in the New Testament, because that is authentic humanity, where we can actually say, Jesus, I believe the words that you are speaking is truth, but I got to be honest. I'm struggling to believe them in my daily life.
Yeah.
And will you help me? Will you help me? Not letting that disbelief become the foundation for my decision, but realizing that that unbelief can be transformed by his presence.
And how true is that for all of us? Because we all, oftentimes, we're like, just give me a sign.
All the time.
Just give me a sign. Like, I want to know, I'm doing all the right things, and I'm going to church, and I'm reading the Bible, and I'm doing all, like, I'm checking all the boxes, right? I'm checking all the boxes of Christianity as if there were boxes to check.
Right.
Right? And they go, yeah, but I still need a sign. Like, help me out here. I need a sign. And here is the depth. Boy's dad, who, after the disciples failed to get that evil spirit out of him, he's like, that's okay, because Jesus is still coming.
Correct.
I'm still going to go ask him, but I'm struggling with that. I'm having difficulty with that. Show me. But we can't always expect that, right?
No.
We can't always expect a sign. We're not always going to get a visible sign.
Yeah, well, how often are we looking? Because just like this dad, he was looking for humanity to respond in a way to meet his need. And again, that's another depth of understanding in this moment.
Yeah.
Is so often we'll go even to people and we get disappointed because people, church, pastors, their connect group leader, whatever, didn't meet that need. Their spouse didn't meet that need, and they get disappointed and walk away. And yet our need can never be met by anything but the presence of the King. And so that, for me, is the powerful message in this. It is absolutely waiting for the presence of the King to show up in your circumstance. And when he does, he will bring with him both the word and the authority to change that thing.
I like that. Waiting for him.
Presence of the King.
And believing and trusting that it will change, something will happen when he does arrive.
In church, bro. I mean, people come and expect the pastor to bring change for them. And the pastors are simply a conduit of voice. But it's always the presence of the King. So if we're willing to wait, even when we've been disappointed, even when we've been disillusioned a bit, to wait on the presence of the King, everything can change.
The other thing Molly said in that interview, and there was so much in that interview that we can talk about, and if we had another 45 minutes, but she brought up something that I've heard you say at one point too, Doug, is that because she grew up in the church and she was in the church, it's not like she had this one big revelation. She didn't have this gigantic testimony. Like, I have you guys have heard me, I have a testimony that can resonate because there was my life before, there was what happened, there is what's happening afterwards since then. And I've heard you say, Doug, at one point in your life, because you grew up in the church and before your son Luke passed on, you felt like, I don't have that testimony either that can really be a transforming moment for someone listening. But then you did it, but everything changed in your life.
Well, it really came from being a prison. When you're asked to give your testimony, I said, I grew up in a home, middle class home, that I went to church, went to a private Christian school growing up, and just always had everything I really needed. I didn't really I didn't feel like I could relate to a prisoner. Never having that transformative moment where I knew Christ, didn't know Christ before, and I found Christ afterwards. So I didn't have that. So I didn't feel like I could relate to anybody. But I was talking to a friend, and he felt the same exact way. But what you realize, and what I've come to realize too, is that there's a lot of people that have that same testimony. And when you're in prison, there's a lot of guys that grew up in a Christian home, that grew up in church, that made bad decisions, that are still believers, but just made really bad decisions that they're paying a price for now. So, Kyle, we talked a little bit about this, that I thought I was missing out, in a sense, because I found a relationship with Christ when I was very young, that maybe if I would, it would have been more impactful than if I didn't and then had a transformative situation. Now, I have a different testimony now since my son passed away, but you gave some great insight into that.
You really thought like
to be completely transparent.
When I was a youth pastor, I had a young girl grew up in church and said, she was going away to college, and she said, I'm going to go live the next 4 years to get a testimony. And I'm thinking, you're going to live the next 4 years to get hurt, to get wounded, to get the scars of sin in your life. The greatest testimony is not that God just saved me when I was a sinner. The greatest testimony is he saved me from sin, the sin nature inside of me all the time. And so what a great blessing, what a great promise of God when we can look at generational children who have been saved, raised up in church, know Jesus, know the presence of the King. That's who God is. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's how God introduces himself. And so I hope that we can change that perspective and actually tell the young people in church, man, the greatest story is that you've had the privilege of knowing the King since the time that you were little. You've only known him, and he has kept you from so much of the scars of sin that not knowing him, not that they don't sin. We're not saying that, but there's such a scars that can come from not knowing God for so long. And I would just say, I think the thing that I struggle with in church is that church has really elevated this, the testimony of what, how bad I was before. And this is what God said. I was so bad, right? We're, if you're a mass murderer, drug dealer, and a pimp, like you were all, like, and then got saved, you were like, that's it, right? That's everything.
Your feature speaker,
that's
right?
A trifecta,
there.
Right? That's exactly. And I'm glad that God saves. The beautiful thing about grace is he saves everyone. But at the end, I think the greatest testimony of the Lordship of Jesus isn't just simply what he saved us out of. It's what he saved us into. And so often we don't talk about what he saved us into, who we are since we got saved, how much life has changed for us, how much we've gotten to know him. And that's why, Doug, that's why you struggled to think you didn't have a testimony, because you believe the testimony was always about what you weren't instead of who he is. Testimony in the Bible is always talking about who God is. He testifies. These things testify of who Christ is. So how do I testify to Christ? Man, my life has been ultimately changed. Man, this is who I know he is. This is what my flesh wants. This is who I know him to be. This is what my feelings say. This is what I know his word says. And those things, that's the testimony that's powerful. Because if not, we always have to go through exactly what that person went through in order to...
Well, let that be an encouragement to everybody out there,
man,
that felt that same way.
Yeah, I love that, because I heard you say that once before, and I share my testimony a lot, and I used to, you know, in the beginning, as you're shaping it and you're wording it, I'd have like 15 minutes before,
yes,
and then like 8 minutes after.
Correct,
so
correct.
Now I've come, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to make the beginnings like 6 or 7 or 8, and I still have a hard time with that sometimes. But then the middle, and then what's happened since then, and how much it continues.
Yeah. That's because what inspires people, their growth.
That's the
absolutely.
Testimony. That's what it's all about. When we come back on Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University, we're going to have a special contest announcement. Welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and Doug Horan. As we've mentioned on our website, faithonthefieldshow.com, you can find all previous episodes and you can purchase really cool stuff, signed copies of Birds of Prey. And all of these awesome T-shirts. Guys, why don't you show them the T-shirts, right? What do we got here? Faith on the Field show. We got Lift Up His Name. I'm wearing one right here that says My Story, His Glory. We got some female T-shirts designed by Remy. So this is absolutely like everyone's favorite, right? Jesus heals my soul, but it's not the word heals. It's a pair of Louboutins.
Yeah, Louboutins.
Gotta love.
Well, people love the ruby shirt too.
Yeah,
that's a bestseller right there.
Yeah, that is working out well. It's Christmas season. These are great presents. So what we're going to do is we're going to kickstart gift season by giving away a signed copy of my book and all four of these T-shirts. Is it four or five? How many T-shirts? We got five, right?
We got five.
We're going to give one of each out. All you have to do to qualify is follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Faith on the Field Show. Share this Facebook video. And you know what, Doug? Let's have them do this. Hashtag FOTF, hashtag free stuff. Hashtag free stuff is great in the comment section. This way we know that you want to win. So thank you to everyone watching and listening. Big thanks to our guest today, Molly McManamy. Pastor Scott Foreman, thank you for his outstanding work on our website
awesome
and podcast.
Job.
Our wives, thank you for the time they give us to be here. Ryan Lennox, great job producing the show. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and the Joy FM Sports Network for airing Faith on the Field show. And big thanks to all of our sponsors, including Karen University. For Kyle and Doug, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.